20,000 plus get to their feet. Indians down to their final strike. Leg kick and the 1-2. Swing and a foul tip into the glove of Castro. Strike three, and that is the ball game. The Houston Astros use a five-run third to take game one of this three-game series, and they defeat the Cleveland Indians tonight by a final of 7-1.
Welcome to another Astros podcast.
And now we're joined by the Lantry's player of the game, who is a part of that big five-run third inning against Kluber. Colby Rasmus joining us, two-run single in that third inning that at the time put the Astros up 4-0. Has to feel really good, obviously, to put together a big inning and get a win, Colby. Has to feel even better to do it against a pitcher as good as Corey Kluber.
Yes, sir. We wanted to be aggressive on him, get those fastballs early. And, you know, thankfully in that spot I was able to lift it up and get it over that shift. I thought he was going to throw that sinker, so I just kind of dove out there to get it. And he threw it, and, you know, feel blessed.
Colby, what do you feel about this starting rotation now? It seems like they're giving you guys a little chance to breathe a little bit, that they're holding the opposition down early in the ball game so where you guys can scratch and claw.
Yes, sir. That definitely helps. You know, you don't like to feel like your back's against the wall and going up there early, especially against a guy like him. So, yeah, you know, hats off to our starting pitching, keeping us in the ball games. And, you know, for our at-bats tonight, we battled him good, took some good pitches on him. And, you know, we had that inning earlier where he just kind of mowed us down there. We saw him good and jumped on him when we needed to and took some pitches when we needed to. So it was a good game.
Colby, last thing. You've been doing a great job with runners in scoring position. What's the secret? What's the game plan when you go up there? You have to know a little bit about the repertoire of the opposition, but do you have a simple way to be able to calm down and relax in those situations?
Well, I feel better, honestly, whenever everybody gets up and it's loud when I'm hitting. That way I don't have to think. I don't like to hear myself think. You know, sometimes yeah. In those quieter at-bats, you hear yourself thinking. It's not quite as good when you can hear yourself think. You know how it is. But, I just get up there and try to go with my strengths and get a good pitch to hit and try to stay aggressive because, you know, they're going to try to nibble. And with especially with a guy like Kluber, you don't want him to get to that slider and that cutter. So I just try to get up there and get me a good pitch to hit, stay aggressive, and, you know, and it's been working out for me, so hopefully I can keep that going.
Hey, Colby, you have a good throwing arm. I saw your mother throw out the first pitch yesterday to you on Mother's Day. Now I know where you get that good arm from.
No doubt. My mom's a gamer, man. She went to every game from the ground up. You know, she was that mom out there, go get them, keep your hands back. You know,
all our moms are gamers.
Oh, she's a go-getter. Great woman. Raising four kids in a single-wide trailer in Alabama, struggling. I'd say she did pretty good.
That's awesome.
All right. Hey, Colby, thanks for joining us. Congratulations.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good night.
All right. Colby Rasmus, the Lantry's player of the game. He'll receive a gift card from Lantry's, the leader in dining, hospitality, entertainment, and gaming.
Visit Astros.com/radio to hear all your favorite players, up-to-date interviews, highlights, and more. Get connected with your Astros at Astros.com/radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Steve Sparks back on Astro Launch, and I have one of the radio broadcasters with the Cleveland Indians, Jim Rosenhaus, longtime broadcaster. And first of all, I want to talk to you about your team. Obviously, the pitching and the starting pitching in particular has been there for the last couple of years, and the offense has trailed. What's it look like for the offense with the Indians this year?
Well, it's actually been better than expected because in the offseason, they made some acquisitions. They brought in Mike Napoli, mm-hmm. Rajay Davis, Juan Uribe, and Marlon Byrd almost at the end of spring training. But they weren't those big moves that make a lot of headlines, and you weren't really sure. And the Indians did struggle to score runs last year. So I think in Cleveland, people really didn't get all that excited about it. But at least through the first month plus of the season, in my opinion, the Indians are scoring more runs than maybe people thought. So Napoli's been a real nice addition. So has Marlon Byrd. He's really come in and done some nice things. And Rajay Davis does mm-hmm. what he's done for a long time, and that's provide some speed and energy. So it actually has been a little bit better than I think people thought.
Isn't it kind of funny what the American League looks like right now? I know the American League Central looks like there's going to have a lot of parity. The American League West with the Astros looks like it might be a dogfight, and the Astros feel like they can get back into it. But seems like it's just going to take 162 to figure this thing out, doesn't it?
It's fun, isn't it? Yeah, because, you know, and who knows what will happen with some teams in the National League, but you look at some of the matchups nightly and you just know that, you know, between the Braves and the Brewers and to some extent, I guess, the Reds and Padres, mm-hmm. you know that they're looking toward the future and this year might be kind of tough. And so I think the games are more fun in the American League because it seems like just about every team has something on the line. There's very few that are really struggling out of the gate. So it's made for each series. It seems like it's a challenge no matter who you're playing.
When you looked on paper for this series, for the Astros anyway, you look at Kluber, you look at Trevor Bauer, and you look at Danny Salazar. Kluber and Salazar clearly some of the best pitchers in the league. Trevor Bauer just making his third start this year. A little inconsistent throughout his career, but the stuff, I mean, it's just undeniable, isn't it?
It is, and that was the big story at the end of spring training. Mm-hmm. There were six starting pitchers for five spots. I think a lot of people thought Cody Anderson would end up opening the season at AAA because it would have been the easy thing to do. He had options.
Right.
But the Indians put Trevor Bauer in the bullpen because they felt the five starters that they went with were the best five starters. Trevor handled it really well. There was some concern as to how he would handle it, but he went down there and he's made a real effort, I think, this first couple of months to try and become a better teammate, fit in a little bit more, really be a part of this thing. And he did some good things down there. The numbers may not reflect that, but he had some real strong outings in key spots when the Indians needed some innings out of the pen. And you knew at some point in time they were going to need another starter, and sure enough they do. And he's filled in nicely, and obviously tonight's a key night because of the short start by Kluber yesterday.
Last thing with Jim Rosenhaus, the Indians broadcaster. When things unravel for Trevor Bauer, we haven't seen it yet. We've seen him pretty much dominate the Astros in his handful of starts. What happens with him?
Well, I think the command goes, and then sometimes it's almost as if he'll just try and throw hard. Let's see how hard I can throw. And then he'll leave some pitches out over the plate, and as you know, 94, 95, if it's out over the plate, it's going to go out faster than it came in. So that's the key. And he's been better this year at limiting damage when things do start to go south. So we'll see. Terry Francona, a couple of years ago with Ubaldo Jimenez, he said, you've got to be patient with pitchers. And it paid off down the stretch when they made the playoffs in 13. Even Carlos Carrasco, to some extent, went to the bullpen.
Yeah, that's right.
But they were so patient with him, and he said, you've got to be patient with starting pitching because, especially for a team like the Indians, you can't go out and spend the $232 million that the Red Sox did on David Price. They're not going to get those guys.
Yeah.
So when you have a good young arm,
take care of them.
You try and be patient, live with the ups and downs, and hope that they develop into something really good.
There you go. After this series, good luck, Jim Rosenhaus, and thanks for catching up.
Thanks, Sparky.
The following Minute of Astros History featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
Jeff Bagwell didn't start the game between the Astros and Pirates on May 10, 1992 at Three Rivers Stadium, but he sure did finish it. It was Bagwell's second year, and after winning the Rookie of the Year award in 1991, he was a fixture at first base in 92. Perhaps Skipper Art Howe was clairvoyant when he decided to start Benny Zitsofano at first base. As it turned out, Bagwell came in to bat for Benny in the top of the eighth and hit a solo homer to tie the game. It went into extra innings, and Bagwell came up again in the 10th with one out and the bases empty. He immediately hit another home run, this one off Roger Mason. And by the way, Bagwell ended up playing in every game that year, 162 in all.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
Welcome back, Robert Ford, joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch. And whenever you face a top-flight starter like the Indians, Corey Kluber, who you saw yesterday, you expect it to be a low-scoring game. You figure runs are going to be really hard to come by. But lo and behold, get to Kluber in the third inning for five runs, wind up knocking him out before he can even complete the third.
Yeah, no, it's not the game that was played out in my head as to how we were going to win that game. We'd manufacture a run or two, hold off their offense, and win a close game. And we ended up separating with a five-run inning. And I love the at-bats that our guys put up. It was seven at-bats in a row where I was really pleased with the intensity, with the plan, with the execution of the plan, and ultimately the results. So to get him out of the game and really go through virtually their entire bullpen yesterday on the first day of a series was big.
You talk about the plan against Kluber, and I asked you about that before the game yesterday. You talked about trying to get to him early in an at-bat because you don't want to get to that slider late, and you look at all those hits. I think it was six straight batters reached against Kluber, and almost all of them swinging first, second pitch.
Yeah, it's a risk that you have to take against a guy like Kluber who can put you away easily when he gets ahead of you, and we saw that in the first inning, you know, when he went through Altuve, Springer, and Correa with three strikeouts. So Our guys adapted well and got on his fastball, his cutter, like both of his firm pitches. And before he knew it, we had traffic on the bases. We put a lot of pressure on him. I think Altuve getting the double to score the two runs initially was a big step for us. It gave our dugout a lot of belief that our game plan was going to work.
You know, you look at the way the last two games have gone, both wins against Cleveland and Seattle, and scoring 12 runs combined. And we've seen the Astros have trouble build innings and put together that big inning, but you score 12 runs over the last two games. Don't use the long ball, which is not something we always see from this team.
Yeah, it's something we're capable of, but we don't do it often enough. And we talk about it and we work on it, and obviously we try to avoid being too passive about it, because one of our strengths of our team is we are dangerous. We can leave the yard at any point. But there was something about going up against Kluber yesterday that resonated following a good day against Iwakuma, and our guys really took it personal that we were going to have to fight and claw for runs, and it came out in our way.
Mike Fiers, meanwhile, on the other side, pitched very well, giving up a run over seven innings. And, you know, the start before that against Minnesota, he had gotten quite a bit of run support but wasn't even able to complete five innings for the win. This time getting some run support and able to go deep in the game.
Yeah, it was big for him. You know, he has had some run support, and he's had a good game, then a bad game, then a good game, then a bad game. And the consistency hasn't been there for him. But he pitched with the lead very well yesterday. He initiated contact. Marwin Gonzalez at first base had as many putouts as anybody on our team, and that meant that the ball was cutting inside, or he was disrupting timing enough to where they weren't getting comfortable swings. So I liked how he threw the ball. He stayed in the strike zone for the most part. He made big pitches. The shutdown inning after our five-run inning was big, and ultimately getting through his outing and finishing his outing on a positive note was something that we'd like to see out of him.
A.J. Hinch, thanks for joining us.
Got it.
The Houston Astros.
Swing and a miss! Mike Fiers has done it! A no-hitter!
On your radio.
That ball's clobbered. Left field! See ya!
All summer long.
Start spreading the news. The Houston Astros win the AL Wild Card game.
The Houston Astros Radio Network.